Hello and welcome. I have Morgan Day Sissel on the phone, and we just had a whole talk about how God knows what to call her, but today it is Feminine Wholeness Guide, founder of the Sophia Sessions of Romance and Adventure. My work with Morgan has involved really, really beautiful yoga and meditation. She also dabbles in breath work and in all sorts of coaching, and she's basically just an amazing human, if I have to give her an official title. So hi,
today I'll be an amazing human. I like that. Hi, I'm Morgan, I'm an amazing human. Kristen says so. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, no problem. So Feminine Wholeness Guide, sounds like you're going to just be whipping out some organic tampons at some point. So tell me what wholeness means in that context.
I know. First of all, feminine is a word that's taken me a while to even feel comfortable saying. Because, I think my whole life until the past couple of years, it was only associated with feminine products, tampons.
Yes, feminine
pads,
hygiene.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm feminine hygiene. I know. That's the only relationship with it I had at all. So I really didn't like the word feminine. And it's kind of like, ooh, like, don't say that word. Like, just kind of creepy crawly. But I've really come around to it. And I've really kind of reclaimed it for myself. So for me, and it was by way of actually, my work in meditation and yoga, and just really coming to understand the feminine as our access to the presence. And also as a doorway to so many other good things that we want and need, like tenderness and pleasure and laughter and ease and delight. So I'm reclaiming the word feminine and really encourage other people to too, because we actually really need it. We actually need a redeemed relationship with it. And then wholeness I see as just the expression of our original essence. It's like all things, everything belongs, like our wildness, our primalness, like our creativity, basically who we are before cultural and religious conditioning set in and kind of stamped a lot of that out or down. But the good news about wholeness is I feel like it's still very much intact in all of us. And so we're all on this journey, whether we realize it or not, to reclaim it and to come back into connection with it and to own it for ourselves and to live from that place where we're really alive and living as who we were designed to be. That was a mouthful.
And what do you find? No, that's good. So
yeah.
When you talk with women about wholeness, it probably doesn't start in the happy, alive, joyful, dancing around a fireplace. It probably starts, I'm guessing, in shame or fear or both. Like, what do you find over and over when you start conversations about wholeness?
I find that there's an immediate resonancy. Like, people, like, hear that word and it's something, like, pings inside of them and they feel it. They get it. They long for it. Thomas Merton is the one who actually coined the term hidden wholeness, and he talked about Thomas Merton was this beloved Trappist monk, kind of like crossing, like, talked a lot about the connection between Eastern wisdom traditions and Christianity, and he was really a mystic, and he coined the term hidden wholeness, and just spoke about how underneath everything there is this immutable hidden wholeness, and it's beautiful and it remains intact and we're not broken. I know that's something you say a lot, Kristen, like we're not broken, like stop seeing ourselves and identifying with ourselves as broken. We're actually whole. So what I see when talking with women over and over again is that they immediately like, yes, they want this, they resonate with it, but then it's also followed by either huge amount of fear or anger. Like sometimes the response, like when a woman is kind of awoken in some way, like her response is like to push it back as far away from her as possible. Because what I found is that like when we start to remember kind of like this, what has been lost to us, this like freedom, this permission to be who we are, this expression, like it's terrifying because this is something that I've found in work around sexuality is that pleasure is associated with danger, and so pleasure automatically triggers shame. So, when women, we're all drawn to it. We all want to live true. And I mean, we all want to know who we are deep down, but it's like this, like, you know, a couple steps forward, a couple steps back. It's like this wavering, like, I want this, but I'm also really terrified of it because I don't really know what the costs are involved if I go down this path. And if I start really exploring who I am underneath the cultural conditioning. And so I noticed that there is a lot of fear, and then the next thing may be anger. Just realizing, you know, how much has been maybe lost or stolen from their years. Spent a lifetime maybe seeking a smaller experience of being a woman than what they really are made for.
So how do they come to, or how do you recommend sort of a first step of, we're in this very small experience of being female, and then there's fear and anger when you see a different way, and then
what do we do about it? It's actually so simple. The first thing I always do is guide women back to their breath, because the breath, for one, it is this experience of the intersection between spirit and body, between something that is beyond us and bigger than us, and then just something that's so visceral and close. It's required for aliveness. And there's just really an epidemic on a practical level, you know, the breath. If we want to live a life fully alive, then we need to, like, first of all, connect to the very thing that's giving our aliveness. And there's just really an epidemic of shallow breathing. And so just on a practical level, like, connecting back to the breath helps us viscerally, like, connect to a bigger experience of being alive in a moment. And the breath always brings us back to the present moment. And that's really, like, where we need to begin to connect to ourselves and to connect to the feminine, and then find our way back, like breadcrumbs, back to that hidden wholeness place. And coming from my background in Christianity, I love that the Hebrew word for breath is ruach, and it's a feminine word. And I just feel like it's the most simple, the most practical and sacred place to begin, is just learning how to breathe again and to slow down and to really enjoy the breath, like to find, like, oh, it's so nice, like just to sit and breathe for a while. Like there's like a real sweetness and bliss and tenderness to that, it's like we get the immediate benefits. We can feel it after spending, you know, 5 minutes just slowing down to breathe. And so that's where I always begin when I start talking to a woman about her desire to feel more whole or feel more alive. It's must begin in the body. Like, it's, we spent so long trying to look for our way out of a better life just through, you know, just the intellect and through spirituality that's just kind of focused on the mind and thought and ideas. And that's really a masculine way of doing things. Like, everything is focused up and out. But the feminine is really about down and in. So it's coming back into the body. And, coming back in to ourself. Breath. I really love the breath, Kristen, so you better watch out. We could spend the rest of the time talking about the breath.
And what do you find women find in the breath? Is it simply a matter of finding a way back into the body? Do you find that, I'm leading the question.
Yeah.
I guess it's a fair question.
The breath tells us a lot about actually our deeper, what's happening on a deeper level. Like the inhale and the exhale, like, mimic all things in life. Like if we're good at inhaling or if we're good at exhaling, that really tells us a lot about who we are and how we relate to the world. And so good inhalers, for example, are those who aren't afraid to receive, those who aren't afraid to, like, take up space in a room. Like good inhalers are your your actors and your actresses and the ones that are really sure of themselves and confident, and their inhale is reflected in their bank account. Usually, like, their bank account's pretty flush too. Like, they're good at receiving. But good exhalers tend to be the healers, tend to be, you know, social workers, tend to be anyone working in the healing arts. And we're a lot better at letting go. We're actually a lot more comfortable with death, and because the exhale really is that mimicking of death. We're better at pouring out, and our bank accounts may reflect that. So when we start connecting to how we breathe and our own breathing patterns, it's like this insight into our relationship to ourselves and our relationship to the world around us. And what it means to be a better inhaler or a better exhaler is just like, where do you feel most comfortable? Like, when you're sitting in meditation or at the end of a yoga class, do you enjoy the inhale more or the exhale more? Or if you slow down and you start really paying attention to what it feels like to breathe deeply, where do you feel the breath get caught? If it kind of gets stuck, you know, for me, for instance, I much more enjoy the exhale. I love emptying out. When I inhale, I feel like it gets stuck kind of around my rib cage, and it's really hard for me to feel like I can breathe all the way into my belly. That's just an example. But for other people, maybe it's like they can totally take in a deep breath and they feel their belly fill up and their chest fill up. But like when they start to exhale and there's like this panic feeling and they don't feel like they can get all the breath out. So the breath is actually a really revelatory tool about our own inner psyche and where we're at maybe spiritually, and it can also then guide us. And when we begin working on either the inhale and the exhale, other areas of our life begin to maybe soften and the blocks start being removed too. A lot of women, I would say,
if someone is not good at either. So if someone is a shallow breather, they're not good at either. And so that will instantly spiral into shame about like, oh God, I'm not good at breathing. Where do you begin?
Well, people, we can normalize this by saying there is truly an epidemic of shallow breathing. I mean, most everyone walking around on the planet are shallow breathers, I would say, at least in the westernized world. And that has to do with also we're pretty outward focused, and we are moving pretty fast. And most people would say that life keeps getting faster and faster, and there's a feeling of being in a rush, and there's a feeling of I just can't catch my breath. I mean, that's a metaphor we use for like how busy our life is, but it's true too on physiological level, where our body isn't getting the oxygen it could really use to thrive more. So we just don't have the same practices or even the same lifestyle that we once did, and so we need a more intentional practice to slow down. And I don't think everyone needs to become meditators or yogis or anything like that, but it just, what is something you love to do that helps you slow down and get into your body? Like literally climb down out of the control tower of your mind and come into your heart. I mean, I have to visualize that, Kristen. I'm like, okay, now it's time for me to climb down. I see this ladder from like my prefrontal cortex, my forehead, just down into my heart. And sometimes I sit in meditation and that's where I begin, is just that simple visualization. Like, okay, I'm leaving the control panel now and I am going down to sit in a hammock. And I just imagine there's a hammock strung up between my two collarbones. And I'm just going to rest here in my heart and just rest and breathe.
Because the control tower, I didn't spend any time in the control tower until I was like 23 or out of the control tower. Like I was always up in there, because that's how you're taught to do it.
And this is what I find so fascinating, is that when we like go about our day and we're walking even down the street outside, like I feel like we're all walking from our foreheads. Like we're just, but we forget, like we have these legs, we have these pelvic bowls, and like there's more, our consciousness doesn't exist behind our eyeballs. Like our consciousness is streaming through our entire body. Like, and so one of the things I do when I'm leading retreats with women, I just teach them how to walk from their pelvis again, like just to like to feel their center of awareness instead of being, you know, in the center of their foreheads, let the center of awareness be lower, like down and in. And what definitely changes the way we walk even. And it changes the way that the energy we put out. And it, I mean, it's trying it. You'll just see like people respond to you differently. Like you literally, your gait will kind of change because you'll slow down your walk and it'll feel a lot more rooted and confident. And there'll just, something shifts. Something shifts when we recognize that we can live in other places of our body instead of just our head. And my experience has been is that when I play with living in my pelvic bowl, which is like for the feminine so important because it's a place that we've been very distanced from, like culturally we've been like encouraged not to connect to that place in our body. We've been afraid of it. It's been a zone of like disdain and dishonor and dirtiness. And so learning how to live in there again and redeem that place has given me, and I've seen a lot of women, like literally, like they can stand on the earth. Like there's a sturdier stance on the earth. There's more power in the way they walk and more joy too. And it's like this like ability to draw from a deeper well. And yeah. I don't even know what the tangent was, but there we go. I'm talking about live from our pelvic bowls.
I think that's the beginning of when people get super disconnected, the how do you even begin to come back into it, and giving really practical ways to get back into your body is super, super helpful. What do you wish that women knew or could see about themselves in all of this?
Yeah, I really want every woman to know that all parts of who they are belong. I feel like so much internal turmoil happens when we've like really condemned a certain part of who we are, whether that's the bitch or the naughty girl, that just like we've labeled something inside of us. And it's, you know, if you're familiar with any shadow work or, you know, and I think there's a lot of value to really understanding what parts of ourselves we've decided don't belong, and then deciding it does belong, that all of us belong, and that I really feel like part of the genius of being a woman is like we can embrace all of our contradictions, and like if we just own it, like I love personally owning the nun in me and the Bond girl. Like I just love like some of these, or like just the naughty girl. And the slut, and like the sophisticated, the wisdom, the wild. I don't know. Like I feel like a lot more self-love personally when I decide that these parts of who I am, they all get a seat at the table, and I'm going to decide to love them and then hear what they want to tell me, and that I don't have to be so afraid of the part of me that is just wild and hell-bent on self-destruction or hell-bent. When I just welcome her in and I just ask her what she needs me to know about her or what she needs me to hear. And I think that extends to like how we then see other women, and that when we judge other women, we're just judging ourselves. And it's just, we don't have time for this anymore. Like if we're going to change the world, we cannot waste any more energy and life force judging other women and tearing them down, and because we're really just tearing ourselves down. It's just some aspect of our shadow that we've decided that doesn't belong, and it's being reflected to us in another person, and it scares us to death because it's, you know, threatening to wake up something in ourselves, and we just push it away, and so much energy is doing, you know, we're going that direction. So I just want all women to feel safe in their own bodies with all the parts of themselves that they've decided don't belong. I want them to reclaim it. And I feel that would go so far for just feeling like it's safer to connect to other women. I think a lot of us women have a hard time connecting to ourselves, and we also have a hard time connecting to other women because it doesn't feel safe. And for right reason, because women can be cruel to each other. And it doesn't feel safe because we have been judged and we have been shunned and we have not belonged in certain circles. And so for me, I found like my way back means belonging, is just to decide that I belong in my own body first and foremost and reclaim that relationship there. And then also, all parts of me belong. That there is some genius in these contradictions, and I don't have to decide one over the other. They all serve a purpose, and learning how to integrate them is a form of maturity. This is what real maturity is, not finally getting over your bitch or finally, you know, finally exercising the naughty girl. Like, no, we need her. We really need her. and so learning how to integrate that, and that's part of wholeness too, is just, yeah, I love the idea that everything belongs. And that's the title of a Richard Rohr book, who I'm a huge fan of. I love Richard Rohr. He's, you know who he is, right, Kristen? He's written so much.
I do. Somebody called me to me in an email yesterday. Yeah. I'm so excited. He's amazing.
Yeah. He's amazing. Any of his books, The Naked Now, Everything Belongs, his most recent one is called The Dance. It's about the Trinity, and it's like a whole new way of looking at it. He's just a great mystic. I love him. But I do believe that. I think that women need to know that they belong. And we all need to know we belong first and foremost to ourselves and to our experience, that our experience, whatever we've experienced, and there's space for it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Can you tell me about the Sophia sessions and why Sophia as opposed to any other name in the world?
I just love the name Sophia. It's beautiful, isn't it? Doesn't it sound nice?
It does. It does. I just didn't know if there was some story that
no,
I
No, it is. I'm just kidding. It is that. I mean, there is a significance to it, too, but I honestly love it. I mean, I do love it. But Sophia is the divine feminine. It's wisdom, you know. It's in the Bible. It doesn't need to be in the Bible for me to have significance, but I love that it is in the Bible and that wisdom appears as a woman in the Bible and in Proverbs. They talk about her as being there at the beginning of it all, before anything else was created. She was there, delighting, full of joy. And so I think that for me, it calls to that. We need this remembrance of wisdom that's really feminine and that is pleasure and joy and delight, because we're so weighed down. And it's like the scales are very uneven towards the productive and towards the more masculine features of productivity and doing and achievement. And just so the Sophia sessions is really just us, like women, and we're here to explore what does it mean to be on this journey of sexual well-being and feminine wholeness, and how do we fall more in life, in love with life as women? And how do we start healing the things that are pretty unique to us as women? I mean, I think that every single human being on the planet has feminine and masculine energy running through them. It's just, we do. We're a combination of the two. But our experience growing up, identifying as a woman, like that has really affected our relationships in the world and our relationship to self. And for me, it all comes down to, I think we're all here to love the most that we can each other and just the experience of being alive. But I know that there are blocks to love. And for me, what I've found is that the blocks go pretty deep, and they're actually in the body. And a lot has to do with what we've decided our femininity means, or our womanhood means, or our sexuality means, or where we've really felt and identified with shame instead of power, or fear instead of love and belonging. So this space, the Sophia sessions, I just wanted to create a safe place and, you know, be a resource for other women on this journey that may not have any other place to talk about it. That place where they could really embrace like all sides of themselves, like the saint in them and the slut in them, when they want to explore that. Just like, well, there's no, it's a shame-free zone. We can talk about a lot of things candidly, whether it's breast implants, blowjobs, G-spots, how sexuality and spirituality go together, and how you know, it really is a sacred intersection of the two things. So that's kind of my heart for the Sophia sessions, is that women would have a space to explore this and walk this out. And I'm there doing teachings every month and doing candid Q&As where it's really, I love it, because women, they have full permission to ask me anything, and they do. And so the experiences happens on Facebook and the Facebook group, and all the videos are recorded, and you can get, you know, if you're not into Facebook, which I totally understand, I'm not into Facebook, but I'm there because of my Sophias. But if you're not into Facebook, there are women that just go there and watch the videos. And there are some women that are there every single day, like reaching out in community and encouraging one another and sharing what's going on in their life or sharing questions, sharing resources. So it's been going on since November, and it'll go until next November, and it's just, we'll see from there.
Brad, and what surprises you about your work with women?
What surprises me is that that I'm actually working with women in some sense. I like really was one of those girls that like grew up terrified of women and had a lot of issues with just getting along well with girls, because I felt there was so much cattiness and hurt and cruelty. And so I spent a lot of my life kind of staying as far away from women as possible. And then becoming a mother, and just, I have a daughter now, and just like there was like a lot of healing that needed to happen in my own life. And I realized there was a lot of women out there that weren't like I assumed they were. I kind of stereotyped women and thought they were this and not like me. And what I found in working with women is that women who have really awakened to some sort of shame or pain, and also have connected to the resilience in them that wants more, that wants freedom, that doesn't want to be held back anymore by either the culture they grew up in or the religion that they grew up in. And they really, really want to live life to the full and want to know who they are. Like, I love those women. And we are so much more alike than we are different. And women are resilient, like so resilient, which is inspiring to me. So putting myself in community, which is like for a lot of women and for me was like one of the scariest things to do, has actually been something that is a big part of healing, just being in community like that. And I really believe this is that our presence in and of itself is healing. And so we don't even have to have the answers for one another. But when we just show up, we dare to show up, then our presence in itself ministers to each other. So I think that, you know, the women that have woken up a lot of times stay on the fringe or stay in their own, they stay in their own space. And I get that. But when we start coming together and just connecting, however that looks, just like just saying, okay, I'm not going to live in my own space. I'm not going to withdraw and figure this out alone anymore. I'm going to stay who I am and show up. And then, you know, we do find each other. We do. Thankfully, we don't have to do this alone. And there's a lot of humor, I guess, to be shared when there's just one other person in the journey with us. Like, we can laugh at ourselves. We can bring a lot more lightness to it than if we're, like, I just stay in my own little space. I tend to get less and less funny and find the world less and less funny, or reasons to laugh or smile about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I completely understand the temptation to withdraw, and then it works. Like, eventually people do stop contacting you and stop reaching out, and you're like, oh God, everyone left me. They all left me. Like, no,
yes.
You chose to withdraw.
And you want, it's like, ooh, I kind of love that. Right? We've all been there, like, they all love me, and I love it, because that's what I really wanted deep down. I wanted to prove to myself that I was unlovable, or I was different, and I just didn't belong anywhere. But I think there's so many ways to belong, and maybe this is your experience, too. This has definitely been my experience. Like, belonging doesn't necessarily look like being the life of the party or talking to everyone or showing up and sharing every piece of your life. Belonging can just be like this, like the spirit of like, yeah, me too. Like there's 175 women in the Sophia sessions, but you know, definitely not all of them are showing up every single day, posting something in the Facebook group. Like they're there saying, yeah, me too. And there's a sense of like, there's a place that I can go to belong, but it doesn't mean I have to be like, and here's my hummus plate for you. And let's do a little dance together. And let's do all this stuff. That's like, no, actually there's a sweetness to just knowing that we belong and that we share these common ideals and aspirations and values. And we're walking this journey together, alone, but together, you know? And I find a lot of comfort in that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That when we make spaces where other people belong, first, that's not an easy thing to do. And then secondly, there's comfort in just being somewhere safe, even if you don't say a word.
Yeah. Yes, just finally. I mean, that's so important. What I've learned in my work as, you know, as a sex coach is that if we want to experience pleasure, first and foremost, our psyche, our primal body needs to know it's safe. Like there's no getting to this amazing orgasm without first deeply knowing we're safe. And and that, I mean, it's on a spectrum. You know, if we want the pleasure of community, we absolutely have to feel it's safe to be vulnerable. And there's just not a lot of genuine spaces out there where it's safe to be vulnerable in the full spectrum of vulnerability. It's like there's certain places where you can go and you can share this side of who you are or that side of who you are, but the things that tend to get like polarized, like spirituality and sexuality for one, like those are genuinely on opposite poles, and it's not safe to be equally vulnerable spiritually and then turn around and be equally vulnerable sexually. Like that's not where you don't do that in church. Right?
Like, no, you do not.
You don't really do that like at a club either. So it's rare, I think, but I think that's so important for being a woman is like that vulnerability where it's like our spirituality is actually very primal and very sexual. And it's not like in this. Are you there? Did I just lose you?
I'm here. No, I'm here.
I think I do. Oh, good. I just got a call coming in. I thought it was like, beep, and you've talked too much. We're out. You just get me going on sexuality and spirituality and boom. I just think it's such a rich, it's life. I mean, this is life, the conversation. It's the full range. When we look at the spectrum of sexuality and spirituality, we get to talk about all of life. We get to talk about sex and motherhood and career and community and health and wellness and success and all that. So
Brad, what do you wish everyone knew? I don't know why I wrote this question, but I'm fairly certain it's important. What do you wish everyone knew about tenderness?
Ooh, that we can give ourselves tenderness. I feel like when I finally realized that there was like a tenderness that lived inside of me. Like, I came home to myself because I wasn't searching for it from somebody else. I mean, it's so beautiful when we get to experience tenderness with another person. But first and foremost, we get to experience this tenderness inside of us. Like, it lives inside of us. And I just feel like that's God. I feel like that's where, you know, call it what you want. Call it where love lives or the universe or your higher power. But, like, for me, like, the visceral experience of what that is this tenderness. And I want everyone to know that they don't have to search up and out for it anymore. Like, they can go down and in and find it. Yes.
Oh, it's so good. Because most people are having like a fight club in their head with themselves all day long about how terrible they are and being brutal to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to do
that.
And
that was a huge part of my healing journey too. At first, I really, you know, I think this is natural. Like we identify with one part of ourself and we alienate or distance another part of ourself. And so when I first started doing yoga, I really started embracing my body and I made my brain the enemy and my mind the enemy. And my friend, you know, wise mentor of a friend, she's like, you know what? She just listened to me talk about how much I hated my brain. And she just listened and she agreed, you know, yeah. And then she's like, you know what? I just can't wait for the day where you make friends with your brain. And I was like, whoa, that can happen. And so it's like, I feel like that's part of, you know, this learning, you know, how to come into wholeness and like maturity as a woman. It's like, there is no enemy inside of me anymore. Like, there are parts of me that I'm learning how to love. And what I tell my Sophias is that we love ourselves into wholeness. We don't shame ourselves into wholeness or condemn ourselves into wholeness. And so my brain is like trying to protect me. Like my brain wants me to be alive and wants me to, you know, avoid pain. And so these things that I do that no longer serve me, you know, and that's why we tend to blame the brain, is that we're so tired of these loops that we're sent in and that just keep us stuck or keep us small. But I'm finding that it's like, wow, if I just learn how to love this part of me and just to like let my brain know I am safe, let my body know I am safe, then I don't have to fight so hard. And, you know, energy is everything. We just have a limited quantity of it every single day. And it was you, Kristen, who taught me that we only have a certain number of shits to give every day. And once we've given them all out, we don't have any more. And that's why all of us at 3 p.m. in the afternoon or 4 p.m. we're like, I'm done. Like, I just can't open up some wine. And so I think we give so many shits to like battling ourselves. And I really feel so strongly that learning how to love ourselves into wholeness, like, will not only like make us sweeter and softer and more have more pleasure in our life, but it'll actually make us much more effective in the world too.
Yes. And I wrote down, there is no enemy inside me, only parts I am learning how to love. And I was like, oh, that's a good one. You're like the Dalai Lama right then.
This is what all the mystics say. It's nothing new. All the mystics are telling us this.
It's so good. So where do we find you? Where do we find you for the Sophia sessions first and then everything else second? And where do we find you?
You can find it all on breathewithlove.com. There's some free guided meditations on there. There's a feminine wholeness principle, just like easy checklist of how to like experience more sexy sacredness during the day. There's lots of free resources on breathewithlove.com or morgandaycecil.com, and you can find your way to the Sophia sessions there too, if you scroll down to the bottom. And I will say this, that I'm doing a retreat in Italy, and so there's a few spots left. There's 4 spots left, and you can find more information about the Italy retreat. It's called Sophia Embodied, and it's a retreat that's happening in July this summer in southern Italy. And the quote that kind of sums it up, since we're talking about tenderness, it's a quote from St. Catherine of Siena, and she was a total mystic. I love her. And in one of her writings, she says, I have seen what you want. It is there, a beloved of infinite tenderness. I have seen what you want. It is there, a beloved of infinite tenderness. And for me, that's what I experience when I slow down and come into my body and really start connecting to the breath and Sophia, which is the feminine wisdom. So that's what that retreat is going to explore. And the backdrop is southern Italy, which is just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Please come. Yeah.
That's That's amazing, amazing. Anything else that you wish I would have asked or that you wish someone would notice about you and you're dying to tell everyone?
I have an amazing husband, and he has so much to share for the counterpart of this. You know, the masculine journey is so important too. So I think a lot of women are like, man, I'm on this journey and I'm learning so much, but my husband or my partner just doesn't have the resources or just doesn't have the interest. Like, I would love to give a shout out to my husband, who romanceandadventure.com, you can connect with him. But I think that there is men are waking up too, and they want more than what's been handed to them, and they also have their own shit to deal with, like culturally and conditioning wise. And so if you have someone like that in your life, then send them to roncecil.com or romanceandadventure.com. Is that cheesy to plug your own spouse?
No, I can vouch for the fact that he's amazing. I'm not a dude, so he can't help me in dudeliness, but you know, he's still amazing. So
yeah.
Excellent.
Thanks so much, Kristen. Thank you so much. It's so fun.
Excellent. Anything else that I forgot or you want to mention?
Oh,
all right, cool.
You can follow me on Instagram when I post there, which is less and less. No, just kidding. I go through these phases, don't you? Like where you're like, I'm all about Instagram. And you're like, I'm done with Instagram. So you can catch me in and out of one of those phases at Morgan Day Cecil or at Romance and Adventure.
Perfect. Then let me hit the magical stop recording button. You all know where to go and what to do.
Love
and thank
you
so much,
lady.
I love you.
Thank you.